Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
Come to the Lord because you guys help save lives. $25,410.52, one day offering, changed lives forever. Do you guys understand? You helped save lives forever. Give yourself a hand. You guys may be seated. I have you know that your pastor is very pleased, is a wrong word, I think. He is blown away, overwhelmed. When we were able to give the numbers and all the numbers were coming in and the numbers were coming in and all of that, just pure just weeping. And I tell you what, your pastor was just blown away that you guys caught the vision that he laid out in front of you. And as the man under the man, I want to thank you for hearing his heart and going after it. In honoring him and hearing his heart. I want to thank you guys for that. So I want to give honor where honor is due. I want to thank Pastor West and the leadership for allowing me this privilege of speaking today. But guys, speaking after that, I mean, you guys heard God. You guys sacrificed. He said everything from $1 to $1,000. The reality is, some of you, $1 is a sacrifice. Some of you, $1,000 is a sacrifice. And anywhere in between that, that is a sacrifice. And so today, as we dive into the Word, I'm going to pray that there is some concepts that come out. Genesis chapter 22, we're going to be talking from there today. Genesis chapter 22. And no, we're not using the lemons just yet. I will instruct you on those. Hang tight. Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here." He replied, "Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region and sacrifice him there. As a burnt offering on the mountain, I will show you.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey and took with him two servants and his son, Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place the Lord had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, 'Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there. We will say worship, and then we will come back to you.' Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and placed it on his son, and he himself carried it, the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said, 'Father, Abraham, father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'The fire and the wood are here,' Isaac said. 'But there is no lamb for the burnt offering,' Abraham answered. 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And the two of them went together. When they had reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar and laid him on top of the altar and on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But then the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy.' He said, 'Do not lay a hand on the,'" I'm sorry, I flipped the page. "'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God because you have not withheld your one and only son from me.' Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket was a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it the burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," and to this day it is said, "On the mount the Lord will provide." Let us pray. Father God, right now in this moment, I pray that you would take the reading of our word, take it, apply it to our lives. Lord God, I pray that it would not fall on deaf ears. But Lord, I pray that you would help us apply it to our lives so that we could be more like you. Father God, I pray that not one person in this place would leave the same as they've come, but each and every one of us would leave more like you. In your name I pray. Amen. The first thing I want us to look at is, number one, the promise of the blessing. The first thing we need to understand is, even prior to this very story, is there is a promise of the blessing. Early on in Genesis, Genesis 12, Genesis 13, and Genesis 15, there is a promise of the blessing that is given to Abraham and Sarah. There is a promise of a blessing that is given. It is a promise that they are going to have a son. And they are going to have a son that is not just going to be just a son, but this son is going to bear fruit. This son is going to be a son that is going to heir and multiply and be a blessing to multiply nations. So now we come into this auditorium, into this room. And my question for you in this room is, how many of you have been promised a blessing? And how many of you have a blessing that has been placed upon your life? And maybe like Abraham and Sarah, if we look at their life, we look at their life, and as we look at some of the scriptures, and actually Genesis chapter 17, verse 17, it says Abraham, when he was told, it says Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? How many of you have ever wondered if your blessing or your provision or your situation or the thing that God is going to give you is not in the timing or the manner that you would expect? Because sometimes what we expect or we understand on our time scale doesn't always make sense. But sometimes as we look at it, as we understand the concepts and the precepts of God, and we begin to understand, we look at this and we understand that when God had told Abraham, he was at the age of 75. And then as later on you study, he became 90 to 100, some say, when they had this child, which is about 24 years before they received the blessing and when they were told the blessing was going to happen. How many of you are sitting on waiting on your blessing and you're saying, "God, where are you?" But you're sitting there and you need to remind yourself about the promise of the blessing. So sometimes the promise of the blessing is where we stop. And so Abraham, he was promised a blessing. But then it comes around to something even crazier than the promise of the blessing, because you have the promise of the blessing, which doesn't even make sense in the timing of God. You have the perplexity of the test. How many of you have ever been through a test that doesn't make sense? It doesn't add up. Sometimes the perplexity of the test doesn't add up. Doesn't make sense. Abraham was asked to take his son, his only son, and go and sacrifice him. Okay, God, you're telling me that what you're going to bless nations with, I'm going to sacrifice, and yet the blessing's supposed to still come, but I'm supposed to get rid of it? Think about it. Sometimes the thing that God is asking you to do doesn't always make sense. But there is an act of obedience that is needed. Our obedience is needed all the time. Sometimes the perplexity of the test doesn't always add up. It reminds me of a story of this pastor who was going to go out of town once, and he said, you know what? He called his landscapers in and said, you know what? You see this grass. It is a hot mess, as my little daughter would say. She, over Christmas or Thanksgiving it was, I believe, she walked into her Nana's closet because her Nana was getting ready for Christmas. She walked into her Nana's closet and said, this is a hot mess, Nana. Because her Nana had Christmas presents and everything stored in there. But my littlest one, she always says, hot mess. I'm a hot mess. Her hair gets messed. I'm a hot mess. She is a hot mess. But the thing is, this pastor, his grass wasn't grass. It was dirt. It was a little bit of grass here, a little bit of grass there. He calls out the landscaper. He calls out someone that knows more than he does, which is what I would have to do. I would have to call you because I don't know. So he calls out a landscaper. He's like, I'm about to go out of town for a few weeks, so go ahead and take care of this. He comes back, and he's thinking it looks worse than it did when he left. Because when he comes back, it just looks like dirt and more dirt and more dirt. But then he calls the landscaper and said, what did you do to my grass? I have no grass. What the landscaper begins to talk to him about is, I put soil and nutrients on top. And what's going to happen is the grass that's down underneath is going to starve to get to the top and grab hold of the nutrients that's on top. So here's what I'm trying to tell you, is sometimes the test that's put on top of you is so that what's inside of you will come up and starve for what the craving of your life. So what's going to happen is sometimes the test that you're going through is for you to go and break through that test so that you can starve for something that God has for you. So what are you starving for? Are you going to break through your test? Are you going to break through that situation to see what really is there? Are you going to grow through it? Or are you just going to sit there and say, man, there's a bunch of dirt or other stuff on me? Because that's the reality of life. The perplexity of the test. Sometimes we understand that God tests us for one of two primary reasons. It is an opportunity for God to prove himself to us, or it's an opportunity for God or for us to prove ourselves to God. Are we going to allow ourselves to prove ourselves to God? Are we going to prove who we are and what our allegiance is to? Obedience is always a process. It's always a process. Don't think with your head. Move with your heart. Always move with your heart. Go with what God has given you. Psalms 119, verse 104 and 106 says, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I have taken an oath in confirmation that I will follow your righteous laws. Have we taken that oath? Do we understand that it's a light unto our path? It is important, and I've said this before to youth and maybe up in here, it is important that we never forget in the dark moments what God has shown us in the light. When you're here and God is speaking to you at the altar, when you're in your prayer closet, when you're in your moment of devotions, when God is speaking to you, never forget that moment when you're in your darkest moment. It is important to never forget that. You can never forget that moment. Because that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to get so dark that you forget what God really told you. What we need to really do is we need to care more than some think is wise. We need to risk more than some think is safe. We need to dream more than some think is practical. We need to expect more than some think is possible. And then say to ourselves, I am called not to be comfortable, and I am called not to be successful, but I am called to be obedient. Should I repeat it again? It says, I need to care more than some think is wise. I need to risk more than some think is safe. I need to dream more than some think is practical. I need to expect more than some think is possible. And I need to say to myself, I am not called to be comfortable. I am not called to be successful, but I am called to be obedient. If God could tell you one thing today, he is going to tell you, this is only a test. How many of you remember those? The younger generation doesn't, because they have their iPods and they have those things. They don't have the radio. This is only a test. Y'all remember those days? Or the TV. My sound effects are bad. But this is only a test. Don't let your situation dictate your revelation. Don't let your situation dictate your revelation. Now we're time for the lemon, which you guys were ready for. Do not open it yet. Just hold it in your hand. Some of you were saying when you came in the door, because I have reporters. Some of you were saying, are we getting to throw these at Pastor Chris? No, you don't get to throw them at me, please. I also have people that will take care of you if you do. Some of you were saying, what is this for? What are we going to do with it? What's in it? I don't want it. I don't need it. Can I open it? The reality of this is everything you said about it is everything we say about a test we go through. And the other reality of it is a test we go through, if we allow a test to sit on a shelf and not become a lesson learned, it becomes bitter. It doesn't become something that can be used in our life. If you would take your lemon and open it, you can twist it to open. You will find candy and a blessing inside. And I will try to regain you in a moment. You will find a blessing inside candy. And I want to thank those that stuffed these, my office, the office staff, and those that helped in the office, and others that helped in the office stuff 300 and some of these. Thank you. But guys, listen, as I regain your focus, the point of this is every one of us, we go through tests, we go through things. We have the opportunity to be put on a shelf, to put that test and say, you know what? I don't want that test. I don't deserve that test. I don't understand why I'm going through that test. And we can become bitter as that lemon. But if we decide to allow God to open us in the middle of that test, we can have a blessing we can give someone else. So will you allow God to open you in the middle of your test so that you can bless someone? Will you allow your next test to be something that you can be opened in the middle of it so God can bless you and bless someone else? Will you allow yourself to not be bitter in the next test you go through? That is your choice. That is my choice. It is our opportunity to be better. The third thing I want us to talk about today is I understand that through Abraham's life, there's a promise of a blessing. There is the perplexity of the test, but in his life, he had to prioritize the blessing and the blesser. In our lives, we have to prioritize the blessing and the blesser, because if we don't, we will find ourselves missing out. We must identify the blessing and the blesser. Because here's the thing, if you don't identify your Isaac, you will never know what you need to sacrifice in your life. What is it in your life that you need to sacrifice? What is it that you find identity? What is it that you find your security in? Is it your home? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it your workout session? Is it your friends? Is it your bank account? What is it that you find your identity and your security in? I'm just being real, guys. What is it that you find your security in? Most of us in this place, we can trust God with our eternity, but we don't trust him with our right now. Why do we do that? We trust him with eternity, which is a lot longer than right now. Our test is a lot shorter. Our test is a lot shorter. But we trust him with everything, eternity. But we need to identify what our security, what our identity is found in. Because that's the thing we might need to sacrifice. Because here's the real question. What do you love more? The dream that God gave you or the one that gave you that dream? What do you love more? The dream that God gave you or the God that gave you that dream? Because every one of us in this room, God has given us something. He's birthed something inside of us. There's more. He's called us to something. There's going to be a process of obedience that we're going to walk out. You look in Abraham's life, there was a process of obedience he walked out. You look in his life, he got up early, it said, the next morning. Amen. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is immediate disobedience. If you're asking God for something, sometimes you need to get up and do it. And if God's asking you to do something, you need to get up and do it. It reminds me of a story. This little boy, little 5-year-old boy, he's on a little tricycle. And he's on this little tricycle because he's running away from home. Every 5-year-old little boy wants to run away from home. I'm running away from home. So he's pedaling down his driveway, speeding around his little cul-de-sac, speeding, and he's yelling, I'm running away from home. I'm running away from home. That's my little 5-year-old voice, in case you're wondering. I'm running away from home. I'm mad at mom. I'm mad at mom. Because they're never mad at dad. I'm mad at mom. Just saying. And so he's running away from home. So one of the neighbors pulls up, and he's a police officer, and he pulls up, and he pulls in his house, and he goes out and talks to the little boy. And he says, what's wrong? He said, I'm running away from home. He said, well, all you're doing is going in a circle. He said, but I'm running away from home. He said, well, why are you going around in a circle? He said, because mom said to never leave the cul-de-sac. You say, well, why do you tell us that? Love will keep you close to home. If you love God and you worship God, it'll keep you close to his precepts. It'll keep you close to home. Guys, if you love God, no matter how upset you get with something you're going through, it's going to keep you close to him. Love God. Because here's the reality. We obey for one of a few reasons. Fear. Some of us maybe have had a bad life, a bad home, a bad something where we've had to obey because of fear. Some of us obey because of reward. We get some reward out of it. But I want to challenge you today to obey God because you love him. To obey God because you love him. We see Abraham's life. He obeyed God because he loved God. And he worshiped God. I want to challenge you to worship God. One of the things I wrote down during the worship service, I pulled out the bulletin and wrote this down. When I don't understand, I will choose. It came up in our song that we sang. When I don't understand, I will choose. What will you choose when you don't understand? Today, as we understand, worship is more than a song service. But worship in a song service is very important. As we look in Abraham's life, when he talked to his servants, he said, stay here, the boy and I, we're going to go worship. What did they do? They went off and worshiped. They were going to make a sacrifice and worship. We need to understand that there's several things. The next thing I want us to talk about is provision of the sacrifice. Jesus provided the sacrifice. But we need to understand the important thing of when he provided the sacrifice. Many of us, we just sit here and we say, God's going to provide, God's going to provide. True. But I want us to look at this passage and begin to understand when God provided. If you look at the root word Jaira, what does the root word Jaira mean? To see. God's provision came when he saw something. What was it that God saw in Abraham? Obedience. He saw worship. He saw worship. He saw a sacrifice. Because you know what? If I read the scripture properly in what I understood, it said the ram was there. The ram was caught in the thicket. If the ram was caught in the thicket and not making noise, the provision was there. I heard one explain it. The provision was already there. And if the provision was already there and he just didn't see it because God wasn't ready to reveal it. What if yours and my provision is there, but it's just not revealed yet? And now it is God waiting until he sees something, and then he's going to provide it. So what is it that you and I are needing to offer? Is it worship? Is it sacrifice, obedience? When God sees our worship, he makes provision. Will you worship? Will you begin to worship? I want to challenge you. You know why worship is such a tough thing? It's because Satan hates your worship. You want to know why? Because you replaced him. You replaced Satan. Satan was created to worship God. And then when he decided he didn't want to follow the rules, he chose to leave. And God said, that's fine. I'll make something better. And he made you. You have an amazing honor, an amazing privilege, an amazing ability to worship God. And when you worship God, all of heaven listens. That's why the devil comes after you in a test. And that's why when a worship moment happens, you need to worship. That's why when you see worship happen, you see the Lord provides. That's why he was able to call that place Jehovah Jireh, my provider. What is it that is stopping your situation, your place, from being called the Lord's, my provider? What is stopping that place from being called that? The lemon. It's amazing that there in verse 12 through 14, right when he's about to sacrifice, right then, God tells him, do not lay a hand on the boy. He never hears the ram until the obedience happens. Our obedience opens our eyes to see the provision. Throughout this scripture of Genesis chapter 22, there is over 25 similarities to this account and to the account of Jesus in his sacrificial giving of his son, of Jesus dying on the cross for us. Think about it. Think about it. Just a couple with me for a few moments as I wrap up in a few moments. Think about it. Isaac, he carried his own wood. Jesus carried his own cross. His one and only son Was it a foreshadowing of what Jesus was going to do for us? It said that the hill that Abraham and them went up and the hill that Jesus and them went up was all within a certain complex together. Not the same hill, but in a complex to where they were in adjacent similarities together. Guys, I think there is some similarities there. And you may be sitting here and say, okay, what is that? How does that have to do with anything? The reality is, there is sacrifice and there is obedience that was given and shown. And then Jesus said, you know what? Because look, Jesus himself obeyed his father. Look at Isaac. Isaac was a teenager. If he didn't want to die, he didn't want to be bound, he probably could have fought off his dad. Which makes me think, and this thought came to me this morning. This wasn't in my notes. This thought came to me this morning as I was getting ready. He had to have seen in his life the faithfulness of God to trust his father. What are we showing in our home? Families, what are we showing? Are we showing that our kids can trust us enough that if we say go, come with me, trust me, the Lord will provide, and then we're still binding them and saying, get on the table, raising the knife. I mean, at some point, God had to show up in their life before to where it's been modeled. What are you modeling in your home? That's a side note because that's not in my notes, but that was something the Lord gave me this morning. I want to wrap up with this, if Jacob and the team would come. There was a tightrope walker, and his first feat was in 1860. And from then, he had multiple feats where he would walk across Niagara Falls. And each time he would go across, he would do something else remarkable. One time they would say he took some kind of stove, and I don't know that it was a full-time stove because they didn't have YouTube then. He fried an egg. But the time I want us to think about is the time that he pushed a wheelbarrow across. And he had a sack of potatoes in it. And he got to the other side. And when he got to the other side, everyone began to cheer like everyone would. I mean, he made it across. He's still alive. And so he began to get to the other side. When he got to the other side, he said, quiet, quiet, quiet. And when the man that just walked across says quiet, everyone begins to be quiet. He says, all right. I have your attention now. How many of you have faith in me that I could put someone in this wheelbarrow and push them across? And everyone's like, yes, yes, yes. And you guys can guess how the story is going to go. And as he began to single them out to be that person, no one would do it. He began to challenge them and say, well, you all have faith in me that I could do it. You've seen my feats of strength multiple times. You see me carry poles. You see me do a bike. You see me stop in the middle, fry an egg and eat it. And now you see me push a wheelbarrow with a sack of potatoes in it to simulate a person. But you won't get in the wheelbarrow. They're like, no. The cheering's kind of faded. People are slipping to the back, you know. This is much like most of us. We can cheer in church, but very seldom do we get in the wheelbarrow of obedience and have God take us to the other side, because sometimes we look down and say, what if I fall, God? What if I fall? Trust me with your eternity, but you don't trust me with the now. And God may be saying to you right now, get in the wheelbarrow and trust me. Begin to obey. Maybe you're here and you just need to be reminded of the blessing, the promise that God has given you. Maybe you're just smack in the middle of your test and the perplexity of it. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I need to reprioritize the blessing and the blesser in my life. Or maybe you're just waiting for the provision of the sacrifice to come. Or maybe the last thought is this. What I held for this moment is this. The reality is, he got Isaac back and so much more. You can't hold on to Isaac and get the Lord's provision. You can't get Jehovah Jireh and Isaac at the same time in the midst of the test. But at the end, you will get Isaac back.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-748-0339.